Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, I know y'all want to talk Texans, and we absolutely will. If you want to talk, 713-780-3776. But we have to touch on this Rockets win.
Yeah.
And we have to touch on Fred VanVleet and the night that he had. 38 last night on 10 of 19 shooting, 13 of 14 from the line. There's nobody that you wanted on the line more than Fred VanVleet at the end of that game, knocking down those free throws to seal the win. coming up with that big, the huge three. He came up with a couple of huge shots, actually, 5 of 9 from 3. And, you know, Fred VanVleet, early in the season, he was just awful. But this is the kind of veteran leadership that Ime loves. This is, you're not as good a team if Fred VanVleet isn't on this team. Or Dylan Brooks. You needed some veterans out there to help along the way. And these guys are the Rockets. I mean, what I learned this weekend is the Rockets are one of the best teams in the NBA right now.
They are.
I know they didn't have Alex Caruso, but he's a pain in the ass. He's absolutely a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
For the Rockets.
He's a defender.
He is a good defender, and he makes a difference. He'd make a difference for Oklahoma City. But the Rockets are a top-notch NBA team right now. And I just saw a story about guys that could help this team before the trade deadline, Lance. Why are we doing this? I don't know.
I mean, the Rockets are in rarefied air for this current iteration. They're playing a bit. Why are we looking at what can we do to fix this? Fix what?
It's an ascending team
that's learning how to win. Like, they're literally learning how to win right now.
Yeah.
That was a
yeah.
great learning how to win moment against a good team. They're learning to win. They had it was a nothing from Jalen Green. He took 6 shots yesterday. Was not a factor. Alfred was not a major offensive factor. He scored 20, and he was okay from the free throw line. But that was a game where Fred got hot. You made some threes. You had Dylan and Jabari hitting some threes. Your bench did not have a mega game like they usually do. If you look at it statistically, you think, well, how did the Rockets win this? Well, the Rockets won it in a different way than they usually win it, which is a huge Fred VanVleet game. But that's
well, he's had a couple over the last week and a half or so.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of big games. But it's funny. I don't know which one I like more. This Jalen Green that was 12 of 20 against Philadelphia and just dominating the game, or the one last night that was just 2 of 6 and just was okay to just be there. I'm not sure. I kind of appreciate the fact that after his 12 of 20, you know, he was like, well, this ain't my game. This was Fred's game. Now, he did have 3 assists and 4 turnovers. And you say Alpe just had a game. Alpe had 14 rebounds,
yeah.
9 assists,
no,
just one turnover.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. No, it's from a scoring standpoint. You're right. Alpe did what
Alpe
why
was Alpe good.
It cannot be traded is that Alpe Şengün does things that only a few big men in the league can do. And there, it's rare. It's a rare commodity. A big who can affect 3 stat columns is pretty rare.
Yeah.
And
listen, 9 assists, 1 turnover. Holy crap.
How about Jabari on the boards and blocking shots? Like, you know, Jabari doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to make an impact. He was on the boards erasing offensive rebound chances for anybody. He was defending again. Like, and my son, who's Mason's listening, he told me he's going to have 3 Modellos tonight, which is not the case. But
him or Jabari?
He says he is.
Mason's going to have 3 Modellos?
He's not having 3 Modellos. He's having 0 Modellos.
Hmm.
Anyway, He said Rockets need it. Like, he's one of these, like, Mason judges the team based on shooting percentages. Like, everything is, you're only as good as your shooting percentage was in a game, I guess. And I try to, and I'm trying to get him to recognize that winning is the main thing and how you get to those wins, and it's a process. The result is based on process. And if you're going to be great, and I'm trying to, like, teach him that. And, like, his thing now, you got to trade for more reliable shooters. Then who? Then tell me who you're taking. Are you going to take minutes away from Amen Thompson or Steven Adams? Like, where's who's? Because, well, you can't. Because Whitmore can't play. You got Reed.
Steven Adams is only there every once in a while.
Reed Shepard is your shooter of the future. They're just bringing him along slowly, which is fine by me. I don't have any problem with that. He's being brought along slowly.
Okay, so that story that I said, would you have a problem with them bringing in Nikola Vucevic? I don't know that I'd have a problem.
No, not that's not one that would.
I don't know if I'd have a problem with that. That's a guy that can shoot and that you can bring off the bench and he can light it up, and because that's what you thought Reed Shepard was gonna vie for a rookie of the year. He was gonna come in here and he was gonna light it up from three and he was gonna be that guy. Vucevic wouldn't be a bad
addition.
Yeah,
but he's a big. Like, you're basically taking Steven Adams minutes.
Yeah, you're getting a stretch five. He's nearly shooting 47% from three.
He's 47% from three.
Right. But he is still. But he's not taking. He's not taking Alfred Smith. The minutes either have to come from Jabari Smith. He gets all Steven Adams minutes. So Steven Adams doesn't even play anymore.
Well, yeah, he or.
And Jabari.
Or Landale.
Well, but there's not enough minutes for those guys.
Well, like, Landale, they switch off. Landale plays one game.
Vucevic is a 20-10. He's a 20-10 guy. You're not getting him to sit on a bench and give you 13 minutes a game.
No.
Well, Lance, you asked the question, why would you do it? And I think. Why would you even make a move when John brought up someone to add? I think there is a belief that a consolidation trade has happened, mostly because contracts will come up.
At some point, yeah. I agree with that at some point.
I think that's what this is about. And John said, at the moment, the Rockets are one of the best teams in the NBA. So if they believe that they have a chance to win big, that is part of the equation as well. We can disagree or agree with the timeline,
okay,
but if they think it's happening, they see something happening this year, that's why whether it be the Rockets or the rumor mill, is talking about this, because a trade has to happen, because as we talked about, the minutes have to go. You can't give everyone minutes, and you have to pay people at some point.
If you want to move Jason Tate and Steven Adams,
Jason
guys like
play.
That,
that's
well, that's
the difference.
What I'm saying. I don't. That's fine. You start. You're 15-6, and you're learning to win, and you're showing that there is no set formula to win for the Rockets, which is kind of cool. Is you don't know how they're going to win on any given night. And you start tinkering with that when you're 15-6 and you lose some chemistry, boy, would you take a lot of heat from Rockets fans. Like, I don't see the rush. If somebody wants to do a deal favorable for me, I'm considering it. But having a good fantasy football team and people want to trade with you, like, for what? Let me just ride this out a little bit.
You have to ask yourself, what do they think this roster right now
is
capable of.
But because why are you so worried about right now?
It's not me. It's them. We know what
you,
they
it's
think.
It's you. You're
no,
using
not me.
Them as a
no,
human
I am,
shield.
I'm trying to give you the other it's side.
A meat shield.
No, I'm trying to give you the other side because you consistently have said that why are we rushing? Well, they're in a bit of a rush.
Yeah.
They're in a bit of a rush.
Why?
They want to win big right now.
They're second in the West.
But I'm talking about big in the playoffs. Whatever they think of this team, this is what I'm saying.
We'll see if this translates to the postseason.
Yes, this is what we're talking about. Do they believe the way they win games now can win in the postseason?
That's why you got Fred VanVleet. That's why. You got a couple of veterans. I don't know. I like the team as is.
It's not the championship this year.
Adding Vucevic, I don't know that I'd have a real problem with adding Vucevic.
Well, he's a good player. I would not. But now you're trading. Okay, so for Jabari and Amen, is that good with you?
Well, that's probably too much.
No,
why not?
Well, then who do you want back
if you're the Bulls?
The
Bulls might just want to get rid of salary.
You want to just get rid of Jabari. 20-10?
They are a bad team. Yes.
No,
yes.
But wait a minute. That's a good player. You think the most you can get is Jabari Smith for a stretch five? A 20 and 10 stretch drive, the best you can get is Jabari Smith. Let's just live in a real world.
Well,
guys,
he's got one year left after this year, so they may be trying to recoup something before he walks away.
First rounders with Jabari? Okay. Yeah.
Let's live in a real world. What do you know about a good fantasy football team? You got your ass handed to you again yesterday.
Wow. Did I?
Yes.
I think I played well, though. I just played a really good team.
Oh, yeah, that was me that beat your ass, by the way.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
What was the score?
I scored
126 points, you idiot.
I literally had the third highest points
in the whole league, so quit acting like I didn't have a good team.
And I got the highest. You got your
Congratulations. I can't wait till you lose in the playoffs, first round. Everyone's cheering for you to lose.
Ooh.
Everyone's cheering for you to lose.
By playoffs, at least I know what the playoffs are about.
I have Hurts, Jacobs, Montgomery, Metcalf, Jaden Reed. I have a good team. I just have bad luck.
4-9. You just have 4-9.
I know. Chargers defense scored 20. I just can't. Of course, Jake Moody, that wasn't great. Kicker in the snow. It was not great.
All right. Time for me to talk about Chastain Ford. You know what is great? Chastain Ford. Man, I love what Chastain Ford is doing. Listen, this is the time for you to get to Chastain Ford and take advantage of what they're doing over there. It's ridiculous. If you want to trade in a Jeep and get a Bronco or a Bronco Sport, they're going to give you, on top of all the other deals that they have, they're going to give you another $2,000 off. You want to trade in your Ram, okay, for an F-150, they'll give you another $2,000 off. They've got financing that is incredible. We're getting towards the end of the year, so they need to get these 2024s off the lot. The thing about Chastain Ford is, I mean, they're going to give you the best possible deal they can, okay? How about on these Bronco models, 5.9% for 60 months or 7.9% for 72 months? How about 1.9% for an F-150 for 60 months? What? That's ridiculous. 2.9 on the Bronco Sport Big Bend, 2.9% for 72 months or 3.9% for 60 months. There are ridiculous deals going on at Chastain Ford where they just want to get those cars off the lot, get you into a deal that's perfect for you, not add-on, not markup. Love Chastain Ford. I love what they do. You'll love what they're going to do for you. It's at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. Doesn't matter where you are in the city, you can get to Chastain Ford. Take advantage of the great deals going on right now at ChastainFord.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. I would imagine we got ship talk coming up next, Del. I would imagine we got a lot of ship talk this week.
Hey. Huh? You had to pull something together, Del, with all this stuff that went on this weekend.
Is this a good week for ship talk?
You trying to put pressure on me?
I'm trying to promote your segment.
I don't want you promoting anything I do.
Hey, John, name.
You're not a good lead-in for anything I do.
John and Dell, name every wide receiver that held out this offseason.
Oh, my God.
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase is one, okay.
Oh, he's pretty good.
He's pretty good. Jamar Chase.
T. Higgins.
Doing... T. Higgins held out, too?
Yes.
They had double holdouts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, T. Higgins, so that's two.
Didn't Justin Jefferson spend a little time away from camp because he was waiting on his deal?
Well, did he?
Or was he in camp?
No, he was in. He was a hold-in.
Hold-in, which is you're in camp. Okay. Yeah. Who else? CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
Got his money.
Brandon Ayuk, done for the year. Let's take a look at how some of these teams are doing.
You think
their guys didn't practice.
The receivers are the issue for some.
Bengals 4-8.
You think the Bengals offense is the issue?
Well, they were the first 3 weeks.
Well, it ain't anymore.
No, not anymore. But it would have been nice to win some of those games. Let's see how the Cowboys are doing. Probably pretty good.
Well, they've won their last couple, right? Cowboys have won their last two.
Cowboys have got to be
still in the playoff chase.
No,
Cowboys are right in the.
What are you talking about? Look at the NFC.
They are
the last playoff spot.
We're not doing.
They're up for it.
I can't believe that. Well, that's what I mean. CD being out really helped galvanize that team.
Or?
Well, they have scored 248 points.
I don't think which the offense has been the best.
No, they're not
well,
good.
It's not like it's...
Their defense
sixth,
has been bad.
7th, 8th, 9th. They're 10th in the NFC in offense, and it's not great.
Yeah, and course, that's Dak without their quarterback out, for
Dak
several
being,
weeks.
Dak being out hurts. But even with Dak, they weren't doing anything offensively. In fact, they were losing with Dak. They've won with Cooper Rush.
And they're about three games out.
Two.
They're 3 games out.
Who
they're,
else?
They're not making
San
the playoffs.
San Francisco, 4-5-7.
Well, Trent Williams has missed time. McCaffrey has missed time. And he'll
in.
Miss more time.
Yeah, they've had a lot of guys. Do me a favor. When you're going to get paid as a wide receiver, just stay in camp. Just go there. Work with your quarterback.
You think it's like a butterfly effect?
I'm telling you that there's no reason to upset the apple cart. You're going to get paid. It's literally just a matter of time. If you're Brandon Ayuk, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown,
Tyreek didn't help
Justin
out.
Jefferson. No, but I'm just saying, great wide receivers are going to get paid. There is no way around it. If you're productive, the market has been set. Ain't nobody. You're either going to get traded to somebody who pays you, or they're going to pay you. It's a lock. It's the biggest. It's the best money in the world right now is wide receiver money, because it's going to come in. You're not running backs trying to fight for something. Everything is going to be handed to you. You don't have to just perform, and your money's coming. There's no reason to do what they do. I'm just saying this. There's not. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but all these teams with wide receivers holding out all suck this year. Or maybe it's maybe they're just being punished by a higher
football gods.
By football gods are saying, "Oh,
so
is this what we're doing, Brandon Ayuk? Watch how many injuries I put on your team, including."
I would say
maybe football god looked at Dallas and said, "I never liked them anyway. I'll be more than happy to smite them."
You think God? We know God is a. And then a smiteful
what,
God, I guess.
And then after the way Joe Burrow was dressing in the offseason, you thought
you think
that
that's
helped?
Why they suck?
The wide receivers held out and Joe Burrow's going to fashion shows. They deserve to be at the bottom of that division.
You got a lot to do with those guys who can't cover people on the other side, letting Russell Wilson do what he did yesterday.
Hey, and how about shout out to Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson? I mean, Lamar Jackson gets and John Harbaugh get all the hype. By the way, what are we watching with the demise of Justin Tucker? What are we watching in front of our eyes? In front of our very eyes. But how about Jalen Hurts and that team go on and get a good win in Baltimore? Good for them. But Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson, big game. Mike Tomlin, another winning season. Everyone was pissed about Mike Tomlin. You know, I didn't love the idea of having Justin Fields and Russell Wilson even on the same team because I thought it could cause some drama. And you know what? It really didn't, because Justin Fields has been such a pro, frankly. And even his own teammates, like, I expected there to be more kerfuffle because they were winning and they still switched out quarterbacks. And they could have just stayed status quo, even though they weren't really, the offense wasn't that great. And Justin Fields said, "I'm not doing enough." Justin Fields, in public, said, "I'm just not doing enough. I got to do better as a quarterback." He was, like, understanding of it. And he and Russell have been very good together. And Mike Tomlin deserves a lot of credit. I know Steelers fans are just getting tired of Tomlin. They're like, "Eh, we just want to move on to something else." Which, you know, I get it. But be careful just getting away from good coaches. Be careful just like, "Eh, we want something else." That dude is winning with Justin Fields and both guys got wins. Justin Fields and obviously Russell Wilson. The Ravens have added Deontay Johnson. They've got Zay Flowers. They got two good pass catching wide receivers. They have Derrick Henry. They've added, and they're still not beating the Steelers. The Steelers are the better team in the division. And they're not the more talented team by any stretch of the imagination.
I tell you this, though. After watching that game last night, the Bills, if they get home field throughout, I don't know how you go up there and beat them.
And isn't it crazy?
Josh Allen,
who's
Josh
their
Allen
star
is
receiver?
Almost the perfect snow, cold weather quarterback.
He is a snow goose. And who's their great receiver? They don't have great receivers.
They don't have one.
It's crazy. They're doing it. It's really been a combination of James Cook, who was terrific.
Who was
and
awesome.
And Ray, but very quietly, Ray Davis has played a huge part, giving them a second running back as well. But Dalton Kincaid hasn't had the year that I thought he would have. Khalil Shakir has been really nice. You know, Amari Cooper has not been a factor. Not really. They added him, hoping that he hasn't really been a factor, and yet, doesn't matter. Josh Allen, I may have locked up the MVP yesterday.
Well, I don't know. I'm hearing a lot. I'm hearing a lot of Saquon.
Lamar has five losses, so he can't be in. I think Jared Goff is still alive, John. Saquon deserves to be alive without question. But running backs usually get offensive player of the year.
Why isn't Goff getting more love?
He deserves it. He's had one bad game.
Yeah.
He deserves to be. But Josh Allen, but he's got two. He's got a great offensive line, two monsters at running back, very good wide receiver, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think people, you look at Josh Allen, and that dude is like kind of like Lamar was significantly better than the guys around him. That's what Josh Allen is this year. Yeah. And he's not turning it over like he usually does.
All right, we got a break because we got Ship Talk coming your way on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And if people are talking ship at your place of business, then you need HR&P, quite possibly. Like, I was talking ship to Lance just a little while ago about his fantasy football team. Am I a bully? Yes. Will I get a talking to? Possibly by HR&P. Maybe, because I'm bullying Lance about his team, and rightfully so.
I'm going to file a report.
Well, file a report,
Chris Fisher.
Then. Ain't nobody scared. Chris Fisher ain't scared of talk. Well, he's kind of might be scared talking to me. Here's the deal is if you got a business and you are somebody who is, I don't know what your widgets are. I don't know what you sell. Maybe it's services. I don't know. You could have 20 trucks on the street, or you might just have people who go and clean office buildings. Whatever it is that you do that, right? And that's what you're really, really good at. What you're not really good at is payroll. What you really don't know what you're doing, taxes. You don't know what you're doing there. You don't know what you're doing. Do you know all of the different benefits packages that are perfect for your client, for your people that work for you? No, you don't. HR&P does. But HR&P, they'll give you these benefits packages. They'll give you options for the benefits packages, right? The other admin companies, they don't give you options. What they do is, this is your benefits. This is your 401k. And they're making money on that. That's not the case with HR&P. HR&P is going to do your payroll. HR&P is going to take care of your HR. HR&P is going to do your taxes for you. HR&P is where you get your best value when you're talking about getting your payroll to your people. Stop doing it yourself. You're not that good. You are not good at it. They are. They're great at it. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm glad we're doing ship talk today because Dell's on some stupid ship right now.
I'm stupid?
Yeah, he's on some stupid ship right now.
He walked in before the segment started and go, hey, maybe we could get Vucevic for Tari. I said, you can't trade Tari for Vucevic. Why would you do that?
Why not? You want him so bad.
Because that's stupid?
I said exactly.
Wait a minute. Oh, now all of a sudden we don't want to do trades if it's one of the guys you like.
Y'all just want to do bundle
the garbage trade.
You brought that up earlier. Now he's changed his mode. He brought that up earlier.
Yeah, I'm asking if you want it so bad, if you think they got to have a piece so bad because
don't talk to
this
me
is
about
the
it.
Last year of the NBA.
Talk to your antsy GM who can't wait to trade for a 35-year-old.
My GM has just been sitting there minding his own business. Mm-hmm.
And that's why you got my GM. Is that why Kevin Durant's the dream?
Can we do ship talk?
He came at me for whatever reason.
No, and well, like, Dell, you can give him Jayshon Tate.
Yeah, Dang. I would do that.
Dumbass stuff like Jayshon Tate for Vucevic.
You brought that up in a previous segment. I'm just reciting what you said.
I'm disgusted with both of you.
He's trying to break our team up, John.
I'm not trying to do anything. Talk to your GM.
Behind the glass, all he keeps doing is, you really need to make a trade.
Vucevic
for Jayshon, I'm in. Let's do it.
Hey. You know 35-year-old Kevin Durant who can never stay healthy? That's a dream acquisition for the Rockets. That was the report. That didn't come from me.
God no. Almighty. Well, what did come from you?
We'll start with some very petty arguments from a guy named Matt Moscato who covers LSU. This is what happens when your team isn't very good. You focus on things that don't matter. He takes issue with the way LSU is branding when it comes to their uniforms.
This pisses me off. It really does. Like, I'm more bothered by this than I should be. But when you have something iconic, you don't mess with your brand. Can you imagine going to Yankee Stadium and seeing the Yankees not wearing the pinstripes? How stupid would that be? USC doesn't wear a bunch of alternates. Alabama doesn't wear a bunch of alternates. Penn State, Michigan, Texas, Notre Dame.
They actually do. Notre Dame does.
Programs with an iconic brand don't mess with their iconic brand. You can think whatever you are as a program, LSU. But what you are now is you're a fan base that storms the field when you beat Ole Miss, and you wear six different uniform combinations. You know what you are? You're Missouri.
Listen, I will say this. I said to my wife the other night, I said, I don't like these unis. I like the yellow ones
that they broke out?
Yeah, the white helmets with the light purple shirt.
We're trying to sell new gear.
I want the yellow helmets with the white jerseys and the yellow
pants.
The
white helmets have been around for a little bit.
But wait, what you're saying, John, is one of their – but that's a color combination.
Yeah, and the purple jersey they wear for an out-of-conference home game, they do that. But the yellow one was new, and that, I guess, upset
Piscano. You are the Yankees now, John?
Well, yeah.
LSU Yankees?
He is wrong, though. Notre Dame has like a series every year. They call it the Shamrock Series. Yeah, they will wear an alternate jersey. Hell, they wore white pants, which is something they never did.
Yeah, but don't they keep the gold helmets, though?
They have changed in the past.
They have?
Yes. I think they've had green in the past, yeah.
I don't know about helmets, but they've had alternate helmets. I'm
going to tell you this. I said to my wife, I said, I don't like these unis. I want the yellow helmets. That's not an LSU home game. LSU home game is white jerseys, yellow helmet, yellow pants.
Well, you and Matt Moscano agree on this. We'll move to the big hit yesterday. A lot of people talking about it. Rex Ryan has a different approach. He's talking about lack of teaching when it comes to the quarterbacks.
Yeah, you got to learn how to protect yourself. And I'm going to tell you right now, obviously it was a dirty hit. I am so sick and tired of seeing people teach, you know, hey, slide. When you're running out here, you slide. The hell you do. Not when you're going full speed down the field and a defender's coming full speed at you. You don't slide. I can see this happens over and over and over again. All you have to do is watch every Saturday college football. 2 to 3 of these happen every single week. Mm-hmm. I'm sick and tired of it. You are not protecting your quarterback when you teach him how to slide when it's not in the open field. Open field, of course, that's great. Absolutely not here. If you want to get a concussion, you slide like this when contact's coming.
What should they be taught to do?
They should be taught to dive at the ankles of the defender or run the football and keep your head out of it. I would take the ankles of the defender. Run right there, dive at his ankles. Immediately, the guy's going to go to protect himself. He's not worried about tackling you. Look, the kid, absolutely, it was awful. All right, and yes, he's going to be suspended and things. But this happens all the time when a guy's just trying to make a tackle. All right, this is a big quarterback run in here. Like, I am so sick and tired of it. Let's put a film together and actually teach our young quarterbacks how to protect themselves. I'm sick and tired of it.
He was in the open field, and he slid.
He means if any defender's near you, I guess that's not the open field.
Well, but you're trying to also get a first down. You're running as fast as you can.
That's why he says dive at his ankle.
Listen, this is all on Aziz. This is all on him.
I would agree, though. Like, we see defenders. If you dove at a defender's, first of all, they call you dirty. I would agree. Dive directly at their feet and see how they respond. You're probably not going to get hit as much if you make the concerted decision, I'm going to dive at your feet.
Or you're going to say, oh, we're playing that way? Okay.
Well, if you want to protect yourself.
Keep that same energy when I hit you like that.
I was looking up this morning to see whether or not Trevor Lawrence had any pro-Israel comments. Did you see Aziz's spikes?
No.
Pro-Palestine.
You think he went after Trevor Lawrence because...
Oh, by the way, shout out to the Texans who allowed me for the second year in a row to do my cleats, my calls, although we don't do cleats, it's Air Force Ones, but I got to do it for dementia. And I'm going to take a picture and set it, so I just wanted to thank Omar and the people over at the Texans for allowing me to honor a family member who's fighting a battle. But I did not see his cleats. Well, he's got a statement he put out this morning, Aziz Alshire.
What did he say?
I mean, it's a little lengthy, but
it is long. I see it. Yeah.
I've always played the game as hard as I could, blah, blah, blah. I pray every time I want to hit you as hard as I can and pray you get up and you're able to play the next game. I don't see him stopping to pray. Okay, I don't see him stopping to pray.
Maybe
that you get
silent
up.
Silent prayer.
But and when the game is over, go home to your family unharmed because it's not personal. It's just competition. We're both trying to do the same thing, provide for our families. I genuinely didn't see him sliding until it was too late, and it all happens in a blink of an eye. Blah, blah, blah. I understand. Before the game, we spoke, and I told you how great it was to see you back out on the field, and I wished you well. I would never want to see any player hurt because of a hit I put on them, especially one that's deemed late or unnecessary. To the rest of his teammates, I can understand you having his back and defending him in a situation like that. To the rest of the people who I've been called every single name in the book from reporters with their hands ready for a story to find their next...
Their villain.
To find their villain... with their hands ready to find their villain to racist and Islamophobic fans and people. You don't know my heart nor my character, which I don't need to prove to any of you. God knows my intentions, and anyone who has been a teammate or friend of mine knows my heart. And then he finishes
the issue is
with
not,
all praise to
not
Allah.
That
no
not,
he
not,
didn't
yes he does in his
oh,
post
I don't see it on mine
in his post he, Aziz Al-Shayer
yeah a couple pages
it's all praise to Allah that's fine says God and then he posts the notes.
I don't think the issue is he intentionally went out there to hurt him. The problem is in the heat, like that's not a start once the game begins, but in the heat of battle, Daryl Johnson talked about it, maybe you decided the respect that you should have for the player is not paramount, and putting a hit on this guy and getting him to the ground is more paramount than maybe understanding that what you do could adversely affect him. I don't expect linebackers to think that way. They got a job to do. But I don't think he is a dirty player, but I think he decides, I got a job to do here, and my job is to hit him, and that might take precedent over it. Everything, any consideration.
He's extra though, and I think that's the problem. Is I'm not judging him as a, I don't think
a bad
he's a,
person.
Yeah, I mean this, he had people nasty. I saw nasty stuff online, so I don't doubt that he went through all that stuff. What I am saying is, I think what we've said on this show, and I think I speak for John here. I'll let John speak for himself. He led with a forearm. It's never going to be okay in the NFL, especially on a quarterback. You tell me, Trevor slid late. You cannot go up top with a forearm shiver and extend. You can't. It's always a 15-yard penalty, and it was really unnecessary. I get that Trevor was getting close to the first down and all that, and that's one of those things where you see players pull up and jump over the quarterback all the time on those slides. They do it all the time. Aziz is a guy who's going to go a little extra. He's going to get 15-yard penalties on hits that are 5 yards out. He's going to punch Roshon Johnson in the face on the sideline against the Bears. He's going to have hits like this. I'm sorry, he did this with San Francisco. He had this attitude with Tennessee. He's a guy that plays on the edge and crosses the edge. He's a line stepper. And and what concerns me is, look, you know who he is. That's what he does. And there's been other players like that. Vontaze Burfict is an example of that. I don't doubt the things that he's saying in here. I think in his heart he doesn't want anything to happen to Trevor Lawrence. I think when he's in go mode, like with fighters, you know, who end up getting an extra punch on a guy who's already been knocked out, and they jump on the ground and keep hammering. I think when everything's all jacked up, they're in places that we can't possibly imagine sitting on our couches watching on television. They're wired violently, and he is wired violently. So he's playing a violent game. I understand some things like this is going to happen. What bothers me, John, is D'Amico didn't seem to have the Texans. Didn't seem to have any ability to even get him anywhere near off the field
around. Man, just waiting, and we all kind of knew what was going to happen. He was going to get thrown out of that game.
Took about eight minutes, and you took about 8 minutes of Dell's segment here.
Well,
okay,
that's what he just did. It's what he does. Let's get to something here. We talked about what happened with Michigan and Ohio State, but some polite trash talk from Iowa. Iowa, their rival is Nebraska. And apparently your guy Matt Rhule is disrespectful to Iowa, and his team started it, and Matt Rhule continued it. Here's Iowa linebacker Jay Higgins on the disrespect.
So after the game, because they didn't want to shake our hands before the game, I went up to their head coach and shook his hand. Told him good game. Any questions?
How much nicer was it to beat him then?
Oh, the moment he didn't shake our hands, I knew we won. So I was extremely calm. I thought Drew was going to kick a 50-yarder to win. That's what I was telling myself at halftime. But, I mean, how good did they feel at halftime? Didn't shake our hands, up 10. I mean, they were probably in that locker room going crazy. but it felt great to beat him. I mean, trophy game, everything was on the line. We were on their sideline, and you know, I got a little close to their head coach, and I said, probably wasn't a good idea to not shake our hands. And he goes, "Who are you?" How many times have I had?
Enough. More than him.
That's funny.
Matt Rhule did that? Or
yeah,
Dana?
Rhule.
Or was it Dana?
No,
may have been Dana.
He said the head coach.
Dana?
No, he's not the head coach.
Oh, no, you are. Dana, don't yell that
well,
at Iowa.
Well, but apparently the captains at midfield didn't shake hands.
Yeah,
or
this
whatever.
Started
and
from
did
the
you
jump.
Hear what
oh,
happened?
By the way, that after Nebraska the should have won that game. You look at the stats.
That's Nebraska's life. There's a their whole the last half a decade for Nebraska, starting with Scott Frost, was games they should have won.
The rail era is off to a very average start, honestly.
Got anything else, Dale?
Yeah,
well, hold on. You didn't even mention what Ohio – did you see what Iowa did after the game? They planted corn at midfield.
They didn't plant
corn. After the game, they
on their
planted
home
corn.
Field? On their home field, they planted
yes,
corn?
Yes, they planted
no,
corn
they
at center – I thought that was very disrespectful.
To their home
to
field?
To plant corn on their home field. They look, we're doing Nebraska in your honor. We're planting corn.
I don't believe that's what they did. Let's go to the – this started off – this that kicked off this entire weekend. This was Khalil Mullings, who had a big game, had to make up for Davis Horn being a bad quarterback. Khalil Mullings, after the game, he took an approach that didn't really acknowledge his team's fault. And by the way, he's the Michigan running back. He took his shots at Ohio State for being poor losers.
It was for such a great game. You hate to see stuff like that after the game. You know, it's just bad for the sport, bad for college football. But at the end of the day, you know, some people gotta learn how to lose, man. You can't be fighting this stuff just because you lost the game. You know, all that fighting, we had 60 minutes, we had four quarters to do all that fighting. And now people want to talk and fight. That's wrong.
I mean, he did skip the part about taking the flag and trying to emasculate the entire stadium.
Got to learn how to lose. And part of learning how to lose is taking the flag, planning like a man.
There's plenty of guys who played their last game at Ohio State who did a lot of losing against Michigan.
Yeah, an entire senior class.
Yeah.
0-4.
They're asking for COVID years now. Can I get a COVID year so I don't lose? Do you want five losses to Michigan?
How about this class has not beaten Michigan?
After Michigan couldn't beat them for years.
Oh, my gosh.
Ryan Day's got some John Cooper in him. He better watch it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Ryan Day's on the hot seat. There's no question. Did you see the score, the record? He's like 47-1 against everybody else,
in the Big
and
Ten.
He's 1-4 against Michigan.
Did you see the number that this is the 23rd straight game that the team who led in rushing yards won?
Yeah,
it's like 23 games in a row.
It's insane how if you it's a trench game because it's usually cooler.
Offense,
it's usually colder weather.
We know Ohio State for the receivers,
yeah, two teams
and be able to throw the football.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes down to this one, they've dominated in the trenches when they've won, and Michigan has when they've won.
You know, so Ohio State is on their third string left tackle. They're
backup
on.
Center.
He's a backup guard. They're on a backup center. They lost.
Yeah, except
center
that center was the starter last year.
Well, and he lost to Michigan too last year too.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Wait, you getting that loser in here?
Yeah, let's get the Alabama
guy. The one who came from Alabama was the one who played
too.
Really well. Oh, yeah, I guess he's learned to lose to Michigan. I guess all of these guys have to learn to lose to Michigan. Texas didn't learn to lose, John. What do you think about that?
Nope.
Our Longhorns did not learn to lose to Michigan.
Texas is back, folks.
Our Longhorns are back.
They're back, folks.
Our Longhorns are back. Dell, good segment. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
great
Lance,
stuff.
For your input.
Well, Childish Altuve called me Lance Eberflus. I think he's saying my time management was off.
Your time
I don't
management
know
is all just terrible.
We didn't even talk about that.
Eberflus is not even. Chicago said, listen, we can't wait anymore after that.
That's all.
You
got to
go.
Especially since he was like, after the game, he said, I thought we did good. I thought it was good.
I thought we handled it fine. Caleb Williams
I thought we
like,
handled it great.
No, what's the problem?
You're too dumb. You
Y'all's
can't
ass
coach here
burned
anymore.
Off 30 seconds and you had a timeout. What are you talking about?
Time to talk about Coors Light. I tell you what, I was watching it with some Coors Lights on Thanksgiving Day, having me some fun. I had a great, great weekend. We had a 4-day weekend, and you'd think there wasn't some Coors Lights being imbibed. Absolutely. Loved it. Thank you, Coors Light, for a wonderful weekend. I mean, usually you thank your family members, you thank, you know, friends, whatever it is. I'm thanking Coors Light for a wonderful weekend. I really I really appreciate what you do for me with your cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, with your Colorado water that is just wonderful. Other places, I don't know where they're getting their water. I don't even want to speculate where some of this water is coming from. I know where my water is coming from. I know it's in Colorado. I know it's a beautiful water with the streams and the flowing of the waterfalls. Just beautiful. Well, I don't know where you're getting your water, but I'll tell you this. You get cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light. You will never regret it. Those mountains be blue in your refrigerator this holiday season. Make sure you're loaded up with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Keep Texas chill.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That was some good stuff from GiveMeTheVin.com. On this date, in 1993, Pablo Escobar, gunned down, dead.
Plata
1993, Lance, that was our first, 97 was our first year. 93 was the year I got here, and Pablo... As a matter of fact, yeah, this would have been, I got here in 93.
Interesting correlation. Yeah, you got here when Pablo was killed? Were you an informant?
I was not, but I actually, you know what? It was right around.
You got here in December 93?
We just started. I was here, I got here, we started up KNWS in August or September of 93. So I had just gotten here.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
The feds.
All right, I want to do this. I want to go around the room, and you tell me positives that we had yesterday. Just a quick, not overextended. Just a real. I'm going to say offensive line. Offensive line was a real positive yesterday. They rushed for. We had another 100-yard rusher in Joe. We had CJ was sacked twice, and they came up with the big. Play on third and four to seal the game. Nice job, offensive line. They got a game ball, as a matter of fact. Lance, positive.
Tim Settle continues to be one of the underappreciated additions of the offseason. Another good strong game by Tim Settle.
Okay. Dell?
I mean, you took no turnovers from CJ?
He
had been on
CJ.
A run. He had been on a run of turn the ball over.
Yes.
Did not do that yesterday. That's good.
Yep. All right. Nico with a 100-yard game. That's his first. That's his first since he got back.
Nico.
No, not Mito.
Oh.
Nico. Nico Collins had another 100-yard game. That's his first since his hamstring injury, which is nice.
Okay.
Lance?
Oh, we have to keep going? All right.
Yeah.
I will say the offense – went to their four-minute offense and was able to grind out the clock on the ground.
Nice.
That's a sign of championship football, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay.
It's one of the signs. It's a check mark. Kill off the last 3.5 minutes of the game with the running game.
Yeah,
championship-level football.
Mm.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Okay. Well, AFC South championship-level football, certainly.
Keep going.
I learned that, another positive, they now have won 10 consecutive road division games. Double digits.
That's actually really good.
That is awesome. I learned, I didn't know, that Dalton Schultz was actually part of the offense yesterday.
As long as you drop coverage, he can score a touchdown.
Yes, okay. And scored a touchdown. I mean, that was awfully nice to see him using Dalton Schultz for a change.
Okay.
That was nice.
I'm going to go Stingley once again proved that his ball skills are superior.
Yep.
I mean,
how about he shadowed... For the most part, he was shadowing.
Brian
Thomas was the only guy they had left, basically, although Washington had himself a nice
game. A little catch and run, Thomas. And Thomas would have.
More than that if somebody
Thomas
would have
had a big
time.
Game if Mac Jones would have hit him.
Well, and Trevor Lawrence missed one earlier, too, right? Wasn't he the one behind Stingley when he made his play?
Don't worry about all that.
And
it was 24 chasing him.
John texted the group chat that, sure, the numbers, if you didn't watch, are going to look good, but we know the Texans defense was on the verge of giving up a couple more deep balls. It's just the quarterback play on the other side.
Wasn't able to do it.
Yeah, wasn't able to deliver. So that is still a thing. But, hey, Stingley made another play, as Lance said.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you out?
I, another one win, a one score win, another close game that they found a way to win.
I still got one in the chamber I can use.
You got one?
I got one left. It's your time. It's your turn, John. I got one left.
It's my turn?
Yep.
I'm running out. I don't think we mentioned Joe. Well, Joe Mixon had a 100-yard game.
You got him.
With the offensive line. Go ahead. I pass, Lance.
You can't pass. You're eliminated. I didn't learn, but one positive I take from yesterday's game is that Kyemi Fairbairn made one from 50-plus and from inside of 40. That he actually can make those field goals.
Yep, that is true. That is awfully true.
I win this game. There's nothing. There's literally nothing left.
Let's see. Can
Unless you got some Tommy Townsend stuff you can bring up, or John Weeks' snaps were accurate.
I'm trying to think. You didn't allow Mac Jones to lead an embarrassing comeback win against you?
No, that doesn't count.
I mean, you didn't allow it to happen.
You didn't even, and by the way, you really didn't get much rush from your defensive ends.
No, you didn't. I was going to say, what about Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter?
No, that's the nothing there. That's the question. What about them?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you didn't hear from them.
There's got to be something else.
That's literally it.
It's got to be something else.
That's literally it.
Did D'Amico win his challenge? Did he win that incomplete? Or did they reverse that themselves? An expedient review?
Yeah, it's the booth review.
Okay, whatever, he didn't win
Henry
that challenge.
Henry Toa continues to try to take out his own players.
No, that's not
a
positive.
That's not a positive.
You could have said Cade Stover showed that he's a substantially better blocker than Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, he also false started at a terrible time.
Oh, yeah. He was lined up offsides.
Yeah,
he lined up offsides.
Yeah. Brought back
a
big play. Yeah.
That's even worse.
Yeah, that's not. See, that doesn't really fall in the spirit of what we were looking for.
No, that's not. That's not quite what we're looking for.
Things that you didn't like. By nature, we can come up with that easier, probably.
Yeah. All right, let's break it. Anybody else wants to get
in? Hold on. What happened in this country? What happened to the NFL I love? We used to celebrate knocking out the starting quarterback. Now we don't do that anymore. That should be a positive. You put the starting quarterback out of a game.
We can do that. We can celebrate that again.
Yeah.
Can we not?
We're allowed
to
celebrate
that. Is
that
not a positive? You knock the starting quarterback out of a game?
Yeah. CTE.
Well,
CTE ruined everything.
Didn't he clear?
Once you realized.
Yeah, the fencing position ain't great. But we used to be able to say, you know what? We're a physical defense, and we put him in a body bag.
Oh, no.
The
Saints used to pay guys to do that.
Well, the Saints and Bears had a game that was called a body bag game back in the day when it was a dome patrol in like the early 90s. Those two teams literally had a game called a body bag game.
Can't do that anymore.
Unbelievable, running around just plastering people.
Yeah. Well, did they have to change the name of it? Like the Red River Rivalry? Did they have to change it? Can't be the body bag anymore. It'll be the shopping bag game or what?
I guess could be.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think Mike Singletary would like Caleb Williams' fingernail paint?
He's got a deal. Yeah,
you think Dick Butkus would say, I think it's kind of cute the way he wears his fingernail polish. They would not. The monsters of the Midway would not be okay with Caleb Williams.
Well, Caleb Williams
but
is one
that's,
thing.
That's the,
they
the,
would have murdered
the, that's the
Eberflus.
Toxic masculinity of the Midway, the monsters of the Midway.
Sure, but they would have murdered Eberflus for costing them games.
Oh, my God. They would have beat him on the sideline.
Everybody
in Steve
Chicago.
McMichael, the 85 Bears, would have beat him on the sideline.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, apparently the Bears' locker room, you didn't need the monsters of the Midway. Apparently the story out of the Bears' locker room was they were pissed at him. Pissed. And he actually left.
Oh, at Eberflus?
Eberflus actually had to leave the locker room.
Oh, Jaquan Brisker. Was like, what did he? As soon as he got fired, he tweeted like, "God is great" or something. And everyone was like, "This has got to be about Eberflus getting fired." The starting safety. How could you be happy? The guy just burned off. By the way, did we forget that they were at about the 20-yard line in automatic field goal territory, and they somehow screwed up the soup sandwich with a holding penalty, and then. It was just unbelievably bad.
Before we go, he said, God don't make mistakes.
Yeah, God don't make mistakes. That's what it was.
Well, saying Matt Eberflus isn't God?
No,
okay.
I don't know that necessarily tied directly to, like, God didn't fire Matt Eberflus.
No.
Wasn't divine intervention to get Eberflus out of there?
No, I think ownership just said, we don't want to see this anymore.
No, we got. This is gross.
And I know Ryan Poles wanted to keep him. That's Ryan's personal hire. He wanted to keep him. Like, at some point, ownership says, like, Ryan realizes, ooh, I got to get away from this one.
I got to go. I got to ditch this myself.
Sinking ship. You got to go.
All right, and if you got to go. You can't stop going. You got to go to the bathroom all the time. Guess what? You might have an enlarged prostate. Now, Doc Manavis is the only person that you should see for this, okay? If you have issues going to the bathroom all the time, in the middle of the night, can't start, can't stop, you know what? It could create liver problems, kidney problems, urinary tract infections. It could, I mean, you got to get it taken care of because an enlarged prostate, your life is just isn't as good, okay? So Doc Manavis will find out if there's no cancer involved. If there's no cancer, she's going to take an MRI, maybe an ultrasound too. I don't know. But then she's going to give you an IV. And that's it. 45 minutes. And if she wants you to just hang out for about a half hour afterwards, it's a long lunch. And you don't have these issues anymore. Are you kidding me? The only pain, when they put the needle in to give you the IV, that's it. And when you hear about the surgery for this thing, trust me, you do not want to get the surgery. What you want is Doc Manavis. Please, if you feel like you have an enlarged prostate, go to 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.